Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of 1 Samuel. Tonight is study number 120. And we'll begin by reading 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 9. It says there, "Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them." And just as a reminder, in this passage, in this chapter so far, we're looking at the historical situation when the people of Israel came to Samuel, who was the judge, the official judge appointed by God, who was currently ruling over them, and they requested that Samuel make them a king. And so Samuel was displeased by this and went to the Lord in prayer. And the Lord told Samuel that they are not rejecting you, they are rejecting me. And we saw how spiritually this request for a king other than God, or a request for a man to rule over them like the nations, is spiritually pointing to the rejection of Christ by the nation of Israel. And of course that points to the rejection of Christ by mankind. No man is accepting really, truly in heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mankind has a better plan than God. The Bible says of Jesus, he is despised and rejected of men. And this is the nature, the natural tendency of mankind, is to turn away from the Lord Jesus, to turn away from the light of the gospel and to something else, to darkness. And that's what's underlying this request by the people of Israel. And so in verse 9, God is speaking to Samuel and telling him, "Hearken unto their voice. Howbeit," he says, "yet protest solemnly unto them." So the Lord wants Samuel to protest. Now, the word protest is not what we might think. Again, we can't go by our own modern definitions of words. We have to allow the Bible to define its own terms. And this word is translated as testify in Psalm 81, and we'll read verses 8 and 9. Let me turn there. Psalm 81, beginning in verse 8. "Hear, O my people, and I will testify." That's the same word that's translated as protest back in 1 Samuel 8. "Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god." And then the Lord continues to lay down some stipulations, some of his commandments. He is testifying or protesting to Israel. Also, in Jeremiah, in chapter 11, it says in verse 6, "Then Jehovah said unto me, proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear ye the words of this covenant and do them. For I earnestly protested unto your fathers in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, rising early and protesting, saying, obey my voice. Yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked everyone in the imagination of their evil heart. Therefore I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but they did them not." So again, here we have the word protesting, or protested, and it's in relationship to the covenant that God has established with Israel. That is his law that they were obligated to obey. And when God earnestly protested to them, and by the way, earnestly and protested are the same word, in Jeremiah 11:7, it's a doubling, where really it should say, "I protested unto your fathers in the day that I brought them up. In the day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, rising early and protesting, saying, obey my voice." So to protest is to testify or to witness to the covenant, to the commandments of God. And really, when we read in 1 Samuel 8, verse 9, howbeit yet protest solemnly. Now, this is also a doubling of the same word. Protest solemnly is also a doubling of the same Hebrew word. And so God is saying, howbeit yet protesting, protest unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. That is, testify to them the commandments concerning a king. Speak to them after the manner of the king. And the manner of the king, the word manner, is mishpat, which is also translated as judgment and also as ordinance. In Exodus 15 and verse 25, it says in that verse, and he cried unto Jehovah, and Jehovah showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance. And there he proved them. And that's the same word translated as manner. Again, in Numbers 27 and in verse 11, it says, and if his father have no brethren, they shall give his inheritance unto his kinsman that is next to him of his family, and he shall possess it. And shall be unto the children of Israel a statute of judgment, as Jehovah commanded Moses. The word judgment, a statute of judgment, just like a statute of ordinance. It's pointing to the law, the word of God. And that's what God is referring to in 1 Samuel, in our verse in chapter 8, verse 9. Yet protest solemnly, or again, a doubling of the word protest, unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them, the ordinance of the king, or the statutes of the king that will reign over them. This is the law of the king, as we saw in our last study, that God established long ago when he moved Moses to write the book of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy 17, he foretold that Israel would desire a king because they wanted to be like the nations round about them. And then God gave laws concerning a king. And let's go back there quickly and read in Deuteronomy 17. It says in verse 16, but he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as Jehovah has said unto you, he shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. And shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, they shall write him a copy of this law in a book, out of that which is before the priest the Levite. Well, then it goes on from here. But we see that God establishes a few laws concerning the multiplication of horses and the multiplication of wives. And these are the ordinances, the statutes. This is the manner of the king. But then in 1 Samuel 8, the Lord got more specific because the time had finally arrived for Israel to appoint themselves a king. Now let's read from 1 Samuel 8, verses 10 through 18, according to the manner of the king. And it says in 1 Samuel 8, verse 10, and Samuel told all the words of Jehovah unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen. And some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your oliveyards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed of your vineyards, and give to his officers and to his servants, And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and you shall be his servants. And you shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you. And Jehovah will not hear you in that day. So God is laying it out. He's telling Israel exactly what's going to happen because of the king which they desire, that they have chosen to themselves. And, you know, God is such a good God. He is a great God to his people. He gives and gives and gives countless things. He cares for us physically. He provides all we need spiritually. Yet it seems that this is unsatisfactory to man. Man desires more than God, more than all he provides. Well, it gets to a point when God says, all right, have it your way. You're dissatisfied with my rule. Then make yourself a king. But know this, the king that you will have will not give and give and give, but he will take and take and take some more. This is the nature of man. It is not a benevolent God, a God who looks out for the welfare of each one within his kingdom, but it is normally much more self-centered, a king who looks out for the welfare, first of all, of the king himself. Of course, of the many kings that will eventually reign in Israel and over Judah, there will be a handful of good kings that do care for the people because they have the Spirit of God within them. But the majority of kings will be evil. So God is telling them, not only that, but they are going to change the way you live and in the way that you have lived under my good rule. This is the nature of Israel if you follow through and appoint yourselves a king. And they do. We know that Israel does set up Saul, where God chooses Saul to be the first king, and then the kingdom is established. And from that point on, for hundreds of years, kings reign over Israel in the north and Israel in the south. Well, there's a united kingdom for a short while, and then a division, and then kings reign in the north and in the south. And we know that God's word comes to pass concerning the manner of the king. For instance, if we turn to 1 Kings chapter 12, we'll see historically how having a king was a burden to the people of Israel. It says in verses 3 and 4, and this is describing one of the greatest kings of Israel's history, Solomon. And after his death, this is what happened in 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 3, that they sent and called him. And Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. So Israel is acknowledging to Solomon's son Rehoboam that the king that reigned over them caused them to experience grievousness. It was a difficult thing to be a servant in the kingdom of Solomon, or to be a subject in his kingdom. So lighten the load. Lighten some of these things, that this yoke that your father set upon us, and we'll serve you. Well, then, if you recall the story, Rehoboam seeks counsel of elders and then of some of the younger men that he grew up with. And the elders counsel him to listen to the people and lighten the load. But his friends that he grew up with say, no, don't do that, but be even harsher. And so it says in verse 11, and now, whereas my father did lade you with a heavy yoke, I will add your yoke. My father has chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. And it says, once the people heard this, that they were offended, and that's when the kingdom became divided. But we can see that God's words are being fulfilled. As he is speaking through Samuel, he's moving Samuel to tell the people of Israel the manner of the king that they are desiring. And just like anything, when we reject God and go after something else, we think it's going to be for our benefit, but it never is. It always adds to our burden. It always makes life more difficult, more grievous. And the best thing is always to do things God's way and to have him as the one who rules in our life, even though in our stubbornness and in our sin, we often fail to do this. Well, let's go back to 1 Samuel 8, and we'll read verses 19 through 22. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, "Nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles." And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of Jehovah. And Jehovah said to Samuel, "Hearken unto their voice, and make them a king." And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, "Go ye every man unto his city." And that's how this chapter ends. We see that verse 19 tells us that people refuse to obey the voice of Samuel. Now, why does it say that? Samuel isn't commanding them not to make a king. He's just telling them the manner of the king. Why does the Bible say that they refuse to obey? Well, because even though God is permitting this and does allow it to transpire, it does take place, still the best thing by far is if God continues to rule. And if God continues to be the one who establishes judges like Samuel, this would be the ideal situation. And God, in the statements that he's made, that they have not rejected you but rejected me, is indicating that there is sin in Israel's desire to have an earthly ruler. There's sin in their desire to be like the nations round about them. And even in permitting this, there really is, from God's point of view, there is an indirect commandment, indirect leading of the scripture that they should not do this. And yet they are refusing to obey these warnings, and they're stubbornly continuing on, and they want their own desire. They're insisting upon this now, and God will allow it. Just as any man insists upon continuing in a sinful course, well, God permits these things. He allows these things in our lives. He doesn't stop us at all. And then when we continue on, we find, it was the wrong way to go. We went down the wrong road. It would have been far better if we had remained where we were, if we had continued to trust God and continued to wait on him, or whatever the situation is. But we often learn these things through experiencing them, and then we find, well, God is always wise, and his ways are always right. And the people of Israel also learn this regarding the king that they desire, that it will not be a solution to their trouble. Well, we're going to close the study here, and Lord willing, we'll continue in our next Bible study in chapter 9 of 1 Samuel.